Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy, Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. And for Wilson Homes, you can enjoy the Tassie summer in your brand new Wilson home. It was in your home, probably on the couch late at night, if it was me. Might not have been.
Was it late at night or early in the morning?
Well, same thing.
Yeah, true.
To see that the two titans, the heavyweights, the hateful heavyweights of Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton, go toe-to-toe in one of the more ridiculous 2 hours of sport, Jared, that I can remember, to be honest.
Well, it's certainly got the whole world talking, whether it's good or bad. The focus is going to be extreme
in Abu Dhabi.
When we talk about Abu Dhabi next week, and to talk about it, that and the other element of a big weekend of motorsport, that is the Bathurst 1000, which was run and won over the weekend. Andrew Westcott joins us, the Australian Grand Prix host and boss, I should say. Welcome to you, Westy. No doubt you stood up, stayed up and had a couple of beers and welcomed the sun up as the two men went head-to-head or tail-to-head.
Just what you have to do on a school day from a work point of view. No, I'll admit in front of all the viewers and the listeners as they are, I've pushed record and but I've looked at every highlight and lots of other things, and also really excited about Oscar Piastri, who in that mix, I reckon, is going to become world champion next week, along with, is it Lewis Hamilton or Max Verstappen? Gosh.
Well, I was very excited to see the Brighton boy Oscar having a huge win in the F2, won the feature race as well as one of the two earlier sprint races. And clearly he's going to get the title. So therein lies all the work he's done up and down my street going way too fast. But he's had to hone his skills somewhere.
So someone was telling me, Jared, that you were, in fact, giving him advice in the back streets of Brighton.
No, I wasn't doing that.
Right.
I was giving...
Because you do have a bit of a lead foot from time to time.
I was actually...
The Nick Theodosi.
I was giving him some creative advice, but it wasn't technical. It was more abusive.
No, the great thing about a young guy like Oscar, who won Formula 3 last year and is on the cusp of Formula 2, he'd be doing all that speed work on a simulator and certainly not on the streets. But he'll come to Melbourne next year with the Alpine team as a reserve driver, and he will be back-to-back champion in F3 and F2, and he joins Charles Leclerc and George Russell in that sort of caliber, and nothing is going to stop him because of the sort of the mathematics, albeit there is a mathematical possibility, but it's just sort of so infinitesimally small. But unlike the F1 game, wow.
Jared, do you remember, it must have been a long time ago now, when Lewis Hamilton was just coming onto the scene, didn't he get pulled over for doing burnouts in the back streets of Melbourne late one night before Westy, is that right?
I wouldn't know that, but Andrew would. Westy, did you give him a fine for burnouts?
I can remember Lewis being in an office where Lewis had to face a little bit of discipline from the bosses of Formula One because of an indiscretion coming out into Fitzroy Street. But he learned his lesson like many youngsters, and Lewis is now actually a global ambassador for motorsport road safety. And back, I think it was about 2008, 2009, he did have an indiscretion for a second or two, but he took it for granted, and he shouldn't have done that on the Victorian roads. But he's learned the error of his ways.
Particularly not Fitzroy Street, Jared.
No, that's a bad place
to do it. You go 1 kilometre over the speed limit, Fitzroy Street, you get done by about 6 cameras before you get out of St Kilda.
Oh, they cannot find you enough over there. Max and Lewis, half the world is divided on who was right and who was wrong. Is it a possibility that they were both right and both wrong at the same time? Because it does appear as if it was all miscommunication, as many of the world's best arguments are.
Yeah, and you've got a group of very experienced FIA stewards who look at steering wheel angles and telemetry, and when they push the brake and the throttle and everything like that, they decided to keep things moving. And wow, what a finale we've got in Abu Dhabi.
No, you won't get away with it that quickly. We need to know, was there any fault? I mean, ultimately, they're all saying, oh, I didn't know. I thought he said this. I thought he said that. I shouldn't have pressed the brakes. I thought he was moving over so he could pass. Ultimately, is there any blame to be shed at anywhere?
The words that are commonly used in this situation is it's a racing incident.
Right. And, who caused
it? I think the result stands. I think Lewis, I've got to see it all tonight. I've only seen a few of the highlights. I can't actually form a learned and considered view other than to say what it does is, given that they're even Stevens coming into Abu Dhabi, it's going to put it all on the line. And you'd have to favour the rocket ship that is Lewis Hamilton at the moment, based on what he's done over the last three or four races. But you know, I don't actually know who wins on a countback if they're both taken out by some dastardly displays on turn one or something.
Daniel Ricciardo comes through, cleans them both up. That'd be a good result.
Well, yeah, it's not good for your reputation on an ongoing basis, is it? But Daniel did have a great
came fourth,
race finishing
yeah.
fifth, didn't
fifth,
fourth or fifth,
it?
And yep. I thought it was fifth.
Yeah,
but,
fifth. Yeah, okay.
I stand corrected. And but you know, when it comes down to the wire, what it means is that we're 4 months away from our event.
There's,
and also we're four events away. You've got Abu Dhabi, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia again, and back to us on the 10th of April. So. It does promise to be something special in Melbourne, and ticket sales are an indicator that it's actually everyone's thinking the same way.
Can I ask you, as we move on to another issue, Bathurst? I mean, Bathurst has always been an iconic race for me. I've grown up, gone through the heady days, and they don't appear to be as heady at this stage. I mean, tell me if this is unfair, but we have yet to recover from the decimation of the Ford-Holden rivalry, the Moffat-Dick Johnson Peter Brock dominance. Those three guys all transcended the sport,
yep.
And there were others, Craig Lowndes, et cetera, through the years. But this current generation, I'm not sure they've transcended the sport, and there didn't appear to be a huge turn-up at Bathurst yesterday. Am I being unkind here, or are there reasons why? Is it COVID-related, or has the sport just lost a little bit of its grip on the wider public, not so much the motorsport public?
You gave me the lead in line. I think you're being a little bit harsh, Jared, because I think, you know, what Mostert did from a drive point of view was exceptional. They were the fastest car across the whole weekend in the practice sessions. Mm. He suffered some grief with a split tyre, as you would have seen on the coverage. And, you know, he's got with the peroxide at hair and with Lee Holdsworth, and he did have James Moffat as Alan's son on the second step of the podium as well. I thought that was terrific. There's a new breed of drivers with Wind Cup retiring and Lowndes being, for instance, a co-driver in one of them. I think they are approaching a new era, and they're going to be different cars, and the designs of the next generation of cars are really exciting to see. They're good looking, sexy looking cars, and I think they're actually going to be hitting the track in 2023, so we won't see them other than from a display point of view in 22. But
I think you're actually agreeing with me, Andrew. I mean, no one's decrying the brilliant performance of the winner. I mean, he was clearly outstanding. But I looked into the crowds, and there wasn't it wasn't jam-packed like it normally is. Now, I'm not sure why.
It's all COVID-related, I reckon. I mean,
COVID only?
I have to think so. And you know,
do you think, though, the sport has lost something because of the lack of rivalry between teams? Like the Holden Ford rivalry was as good as the All Blacks Australia rivalry.
Yes, it was, and I don't know whether that means I'm contradicting myself again, but I do think that there's still rivalries across the teams, and you know, the drivers are creating that sort of level of rivalry, and there's a new era of drivers. I thought what was on the line between Chas Mostert and Shane Van Gisbergen was pretty exceptional yesterday afternoon, and they're going to be a different breed of drivers who are going to be probably forging their own history.
Westy, on the COVID related nature that you were talking about, I assume, you know, barring unforeseen setbacks, we can have a full crowd in Melbourne. It's going to be a normal race.
Yeah, you bet it is. And I spent a couple hours today with our engineering team looking at where we can put new grandstands and additional bays, because we are selling the grandstands as quickly as we can put them up onto the ticketing systems, and we'd typically have about 30,000 grandstand seats that we'd sell up to over the course of the whole campaign. Well, we put that 30,000 seats on the market, and they're basically sold out. So now what we're doing is working out where we can have some fantastic new locations, given the geometry and changes to the circuit. So there's a lot of popularity in motorsport here. Supercars is a support category, but gee, when you look at Netflix and Lewis and Max Verstappen, and you know, there's 15 drivers next year in Melbourne who are driving for different teams compared to when they last raced in Melbourne in 2019, and five of them have never driven the circuit at all. So it does promise to be really, really exciting.
See, why would you take it to Sydney, Jared? I mean, they're selling tickets quicker than they can print them here.
Well, that's up to Andrew to fight off the Sydney.
Well, no, they just couldn't. They
the
just,
Sydney
you couldn't
Pirates.
Go to Sydney.
With the grandstand, are we able to sit next to each other or are we distanced?
No, next to each other. And okay. as Sam said, barring anything unforeseen, and we're not planning for the unforeseen at the moment, we're selling fully packed grandstands, you know, one person in one seat, none of the 50%, 75% scenarios that we were legitimately having to go through when we were looking at March and November scenarios. So it's going to be the full configuration of suites and grandstands and viewing locations and additional areas with super screens and social zones and so on. So it really does promise to be a party atmosphere and something we're really, really keen to introduce new people to the sport of.
The Sydney Raiders, have they paid you the respect of actually giving you a call and just alerting you to the fact that they're trying to cut your lunch?
No, I think they... Premier Dom Perignon, I think, that does that via the press. And
Perignon?
I think what we're
Perignon
seeing...
with Perignon. That's a wine, isn't it, or a champagne? Anyway, he's very bubbly at this stage.
They are, and it's major events are an important part of a very serious part of the state's economy, and you know we've got a strong relationship with Formula One. The government's got a strong relationship with Formula One, and you know the commitment is there as it always is to look to the future. And one of the things we did in conjunction with the guys at Formula One was design and institute the $20 million worth of circuit changes, which are going to be unveiled for next year's event. And you don't do that just for a one-off basis. You do that because you've both got an eye to the future, and that eye to the future is well and truly, there.
Did you research the ammonia fuel discussion that we had? I did give you the share. Since I gave you the tip on that, it's gone from 16.5 cents to 14.5. So I hope you didn't invest.
No, but what I did do, Jared, is that the renewable fuels topic is broad. The hybrid engine, which powers Formula One and been in place since 2014, as I think I did say on that night, is the most efficient power unit in the world. And, you know, it might be ammonia or it might be other forms of renewable fuels. And if it's as good as you say, then the companies that Formula One is working with will make sure it features. But they're looking at renewability because obviously a sustainable sport needs to include a really good, strong eye on renewable fuels because, you know, 90%+ of the cars on the roads are hybrid or non-electric. And electrification is definitely one of those solutions for the future. But there's also other solutions for the future of mobility. And what we've got to do is, even in that transitionary phase, which is over decades, make sure that we've got efficient fuel cells and efficient hybrid engines, and that's what Formula One is doing. So, you know, they're leading the charge, and it's really, really good for the environment and the sport.
I still think ammonia it sort of suits the image of Formula One. You know, you got to be able to pump something in. You just don't want to have to plug a battery in if you're talking Formula One. So let's hope this fuel that you're so keen on and heavily invested in makes it to the final stages of production. But nevertheless, Andrew, great to catch up. A huge weekend in motorsport, and it's going to be even bigger next week.
Yeah, next week's the finale for not only Verstappen and Hamilton, but also Oscar Piastri. And let's also give a plug for Mick Doohan's son, Jack Doohan, who actually made it into Formula 2 last weekend, and he finished fifth in his second race, and I thought that was pretty spectacular. So things are bright on the future of young Aussie drivers who are going to be pushing Daniel Ricciardo in future years.
They certainly are. Good on you, Wessie. Andrew Westacott there, the boss of the Australian Grand Prix. You're only, as he said, three more races away from it coming to Melbourne. Do you think Westy was being deliberately mischievous when he referred to Dominic Perrottet as Dominic Perignon?
I didn't know whether he was having a barb at him. It was good, though. I liked it.
Because
we've been looking for something. We've got the Emperor. We've got the Cowboy. We've got the Dictator.
Because, I've made up my mind. It was definitely deliberate.
Was it a barb?
Well, because his name is Dom Perrottet.
Yeah.
He's then gone with Dom Perignon, which, for those who don't like their wine, is probably, I would say, the most famous champagne in the world.
good enough. I liked it, though. It was good from Westy.
I think it's 100 out of 100, and yeah. I don't think I'll ever be referring to the New South Wales Premier as anything other than Dom Perignon.
I like it.
More Sports Day, and we're going to get a bit serious with the boss of the Melbourne Storm, Frank Panisi. He's going to join us next.